Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, C.J. Stroud met with the media yesterday. I thought by far the most noteworthy cut from C.J. was this one. Take a listen to this. The question was about what can you learn from plays when the pressure is on you really, really fast. That happened a lot in the past. It happened a lot this season. It happened a disproportionate amount in the Packers game. Take a listen to CJ's answer, and it starts to veer a little bit into maybe not telling people how to fan, but politely asking people how to fan. Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, I would say, you know, just for me, just getting the ball out on time, being able, you know, to try to stay comfortable after getting hit, you know, really just, you know, just trying to make everybody around me better. You know, I got the utmost respect and, you know, a trust in my O-line. You know, one outing doesn't make you a definition. You know what I mean? There's plenty of games that you can go look at the film and they did an amazing job. You know, so I don't believe in the banter and all this. I don't even see it. I'm not really on social media, but, you know, I hear about it and, you know, I just like you guys beat them down. Try to praise them as well, you know. So this next week, I know that the protection is going to be great. I can't wait for it, you know. And, you know, I want y'all to do the same thing y'all doing now and just, you know, be more positive, you know. But same time, it's the league we in, you know. We're not feeling bad for ourselves. We grown men. We can take it, you know what I mean. And I know that they want to be better, and they will.
Okay, I am. I think he's just taking up for his guys there, Seth. That's how I feel.
Oh, yeah. No. I think, well, this is a thing. Like, is he saying that? And he's there. He's talking to the media more so than the fans, I think, when he says, because he looked at the guys in the room about that. Listen, CJ, I've got videos up where I'm gushing about how awesome the offensive line was after the first Colts game, how excited I was about Kenyon Green.
Right.
Am I going to take them down? No, because they're still making me money as people go to those videos and tell me what an idiot I am. So, of course not. But so, I've had no shortage of praise when the praise is deserved.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, yes, I too look forward to a time when I'm coming in after a Colts game and I'm saying, you know what, man? I think there's something to this Kenyon Green. Yeah. It's a different version of Kenyon Green. Like, oh, Laremy Tunsil was getting kind of nasty in the run game. I like that. I don't want to see what I saw last week, which is Laremy Tunsil falling on his face in
the
run game.
Right.
I don't want to see Titus Howard stepping on Dalton Schultz's foot in the pass protection. Okay,
oh, for sure.
I want to see, because this is the other thing, too. The quick pressure doesn't worry me as much because, look, sometimes with quick pressure, sometimes it's just a numbers thing. At least one of the blitzes last week, look, the defense schemed up a really good 3-on-2 situation where somebody's going to lose. You know, you don't have enough bodies to block. Some of these blitzes that they've been getting beat on, though, Sean, on third and long, are comical because they're the types of blitzes that when the defensive coordinator installs them on Wednesday, you're like, as a defensive player, you're like, all right. Okay.
We'll see.
The left defensive end is going to loop all the way around to the right.
And
somehow the ball's still going to be in the quarterback's hands. And then lo and behold, on Sunday, those ones are actually coming clean. Because at some point, the offensive line is going to mess up the math. Or the running back, you know, depending on who's to blame. Or Dalton Schultz is just going to completely whiff on I missed the one, because we do have to include the tight ends in this.
In this conversation, they need to be included.
Did this go viral or not? I sent it to you yesterday. I for whatever reason, I hadn't noticed the way this play ended from 2 weeks ago versus the Patriots.
Yeah.
Where Dalton Schultz is coming across the formation, they snap the ball, and a blitzer just runs right underneath him. Dalton turns around eventually, not quickly, to become an option or anything. And as CJ's getting hit, CJ throws the ball. It hits Dalton Schultz in the face and bounces off into the ether.
Yeah.
And it was, in a nutshell, I feel like it was everything that's wrong with the Texans' response to blitzes.
He had
right
a missed block and a drop on the same play.
Yeah. Point blank range.
Yeah,
it really wasn't. At first, I was like, well, I mean, he got hit in the face from point blank range. I think CJ actually had touch on a ball like that you can have in that moment.
Yeah.
But Dalton just wasn't ready for it. On some of the quick pressures, yes, I think there's times where the receivers either aren't going hot or looking quick or understanding and recognizing blitz. It's a lot of what plagued the Texans early last year that they figured out and got better at. But, I do think that it's – you got to remember, it isn't just the offensive line. The tight ends are garbage as pass protectors as well.
Yeah.
And that's where sometimes I think Bobby's got to just understand and realize, all right, it's either time to just stop trying to make these guys into something they are not or somehow miraculously turn them into good pass blockers.
Yeah.
Because if not, just get him out, spread out, and go and let CJ cook.
Yeah, there's a lot of hey, we've done this before going on this week with D'Amico, yeah, with some of the, yeah, players. I saw some of the locker room availabilities yesterday. There was a pretty lengthy one with Tytus Howard and some of the, mm-hmm, some of the regulars there in the media. And a lot of it was, hey man, we've done it before. And it's like, okay, but not like super consistently. You've not done
it
before.
Yeah.
You know?
We just want you to do it more often.
Yeah, do it a lot. Know? Do it a lot.
It's like a quarterback who's completing 50% of his passes. Yeah. You're like, hey, those 50% are nice. Let's just build on that. Get it up to 60, eh?
As far as CJ's message to the media, and I think you're right, it was more to the media than it was to the fans. I mischaracterized that. It was to the media. Lovie Smith used to do this a lot and get criticized quite a bit for it. Remember after the first game of the Lovie Smith era against the Colts, yeah, at home, ironically, yeah, he just stopped in the middle of the press conference like, hey, guys, I know it was a tie yesterday that we probably could have gone for a win, but how about talking about something positive like O.J. Howard?
Yeah,
like O.J.
Right. It was like,
and that message fell flat, not just for the media, but for a lot of fans, too. Do you think most listeners, if you want to weigh in, 713-572-4610, do you think CJ's message there to the media, do you think most people listening out there are team media or team CJ on that right now? Like, are we being overly negative to the point where we need to be much more positive if they actually block competently?
No, I'd say it's 90% in favor of criticizing the offensive line, but then there's always a 10% that are going to whine and complain about whining and complaining,
yeah,
no matter what, and I accept that. Yeah. They're always going to think that you need to fan hard 100%, when in reality, look, I mean, every coach and player who's gotten up there and talked about this has basically conceded that, yeah, the O-line really laid an egg.
We
in that
stunk.
Game. They did. And now they've also pointed out that they did do some good things in that game. They did. The offensive line did. They had some really nice blitz pickups at times. Like, yeah, they're not incapable of doing it. And this is where I wonder. Somebody yesterday asked me if it's possible that the offensive line just isn't that smart. And yes, that's always a possibility, but this doesn't strike me as a stupid crew of dudes.
No.
So that's where I'll go back to, honestly, early in the Bill O'Brien days, there were times where it looked to me like an offensive line that just wasn't clear on exactly what they were supposed to be doing in different situations. And usually with offensive linemen, that more goes back to the coach and offensive coordinator than it does the actual players themselves. As a coach, any of our coaches that are listening, a lot of times you got to really check yourself and remember, like, okay, wait a second. If these guys are doing dumb things consistently, I must not be teaching it right.
Yeah.
And I think that's where at least part of the problem here is. And because when you're uncertain, that's when the technique starts to falter. That's when things really start to snowball. And the offensive line, you know, one thing Tytus Howard said yesterday was that they got to remember to trust each other.
Yeah.
There's times where they either don't trust that the running back's going to do what he's supposed to do, or they're not aware of what the running back's supposed to do, or vice versa. Maybe the offensive, maybe the running back's not trusting the O-line, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just there's an uncertainty there.
Yeah.
And no, it's not. It ends up looking stupid, but it's not because they're fundamentally unintelligent. It's that things are sometimes made too complex or not explained the right way.
That makes sense. Here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday. Devin White is a Houston Texan, former Pro Bowler for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was a fixture on their defense when they won a Super Bowl back in 2020. He was cut by the Eagles before even playing a snap for them. Cut a couple of weeks ago here in October. How much can Devin White help, D'Amico?
Yeah, excited to get Devin. And here we'll work with him and see where he is. Right, try to get him caught up to speed to see, you know, if he can help us. So it's this opportunity for Devin to compete, come in and learn how we do things. And we wanted to add him to, you know, give him an opportunity to see where he can come in and help us. That's what it was about. See how he can fit in and how he can help us.
Okay. Kind of a version of the answer that I expected yesterday when we were kind of playing name that answer for D'Amico. Like, how do you think he's going to answer it? I thought he'd say, you know, he's a guy, he's going to come in and compete, and we think he can help us win games. That's
what he is. You know what's funny is I saw somebody on X yesterday say, what the hell, y'all talking about Devin White like he's 35 years old? He's only 26? Something to that nature. And it's funny because it's, yes, I think that is, that's the interesting thing about Devin White, is that people talk about him almost like, well, he just seems to lost something of what he had those first couple years. And he's still the same guy athletically. It's just that he's a very hot and cold player, and he's very capable of making big plays, but he's also, there's times where he disappears, or he just gets blocked too easily, or he's just not, that athleticism doesn't show up in coverage the same way you'd expect. So I think it's a perfect get this guy in the building and see what he can do type of situation. Now, he was in Philadelphia where, in Vic Fangio's defense, they ask guys to be super high IQ players. And that, and again, I'm the, like, we start getting into that territory of whether guys are dumb or stupid. It's not as simple as that. Some players just operate better when they just can go. Just go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wonder if Devin White is maybe one of those guys, and it's a matter of D'Amico really learning who he is as a player, figuring out what he's good at, what he can and can't do, and then at least at first kind of using him in targeted in specific doses. And D'Amico does a really good job, I think, of simplifying the game for defensive players. You know, to create that illusion of complexity, but make it simple for the players to digest.
Makes sense.
So yeah, you might end up getting the really best version of Devin White.
Yeah, let's talk about that. The best version of Devin White. D'Amico was asked yesterday, how do you get that? The best version of Devin White.
There's no secret that Devin has been an all-pro top linebacker in his league coming out of college. He was, you know, kind of a no-miss player. He went top 10 in the draft. I mean, he was an exceptional talent. So what happened and why he's here, no one knows. Like, life happens to us all. You just have to keep punching, keep attacking each day with the right mindset. And we, opportunity for Devin is to come in here and compete. Right. Again, nothing's promised. We don't know what the future holds. It's just one day at a time. Compete every day and we'll see where we end up.
Keep punching, man. I need D'Amico Ryans to give me a Rocky Balboa pep talk sometime. I'd love to hear what the pep talk version of that is to Devin White. Yeah, man. Just keep, you get, it's not about getting, it's not about getting knocked down. It's about getting knocked down and getting up and moving forward, you know?
D'Amico's gonna be an awesome old man.
Yes. Yes.
You know? Like, he's going to be somebody's grandpa someday.
His future grandkids are so lucky, man.
Yeah, like the kind of kid that, like the kind of grandpa that, like, a kid can be all distraught about something and D'Amico can kind of put it in perspective.
Yes,
for him.
Yes. Yeah. That's what he needs to be to Devin White, a grandpa.
Yeah, I'm all for, I mean, going back to Bill O'Brien, I was all for the way Bill O'Brien operated in his tenure as GM when William O'Brien. If there was Philip Dorsett or somebody, if there was a former first round pick,
that
out there,
part of how he operated, okay,
right. No. I like bringing in guys that they've got top notch world class physical ability. Yeah. They did it with Jeff Okuda and C.J. Henderson this year. Like, not Bill O'Brien, but the Texans did it.
Vernon Hargraves was the kid. Remember,
right?
Vernon,
that was
Hargraves.
A Bill O'Brien signing. Yeah, and I like that. I like that. Okay,
bring the mentality.
To use Casario's verbiage, get him in the building,
yes.
See what they can do. And, yeah, maybe there is something that the other team, and even in specific doses, even because you're getting that world-class physical ability at a pretty good discount, even if it's only for 10 snaps a game, maybe this guy can bring something. So, yeah, I'm intrigued by the upside of Devin White and how the Texans and how D'Amico Ryan specifically might figure out how to use him.
I'm intrigued to see if he's active on Sunday this weekend. Do they get him on the field that quickly, get him up to speed and get him out there that quickly?
Because they, you know, Jamal Hill was active last week. He's a younger, raw, developmental guy. So I think that's a pretty. Was he active on game day?
He was active on game day last week.
He was active on game day.
He was active on game day.
So I think that's a pretty easy swapping as long as they feel like Devin White is ready to go. Because Jamal Hill's a project.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Get you 10 snaps if need be. You know, run down on special teams, whatever it is. But yeah, I mean, you're still missing Christian Harris and presumably Azeez Al-Shaair, who didn't practice yesterday. So you need bodies at that position. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. If you want to text in, 713-572-4610. Headlines coming up next. We'll talk about the Texans a little bit more. We'll get you the full injury report if you're just waking up. Some good news on the injury report for the Texans. A lot of news with starting QBs around the NFL yesterday, including a couple of former number one overall picks that are back into the mix. Yeah, the Rockets. We got Rob Manfred talking about things.
We
got a little Manfred man. Yeah.
What a tease.
It's a pretty good headline. Well, it's a topic that a lot of people are worked up about around baseball.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that coming up next.